The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. How many is thankful for this day? Today is the day to bless the Lord. Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell them you're happy to see them. If you're not happy, at least act like it. We're thankful you're here today. Praise God. If our ushers can come, if our ushers would be able to come, and we're excited about what God is doing in our lives. This is another way, another form of praise and worship. I just got a few announcements, and that is prayer, family prayer, this Saturday at 7 o'clock. Amen. And it's going to be a great time. We do this once a month where we gather collectively and pray and seek the face of the Lord at 7 o'clock this third Saturday. Amen. Any 65 and older here? Anybody that's 65 and older that want to admit it? Look at, they're in their golden years. Some are saying, I feel like it's copper or something. Amen. 65 and older. And if you're retired, we want to invite you to here at the church on the 19th of this month at 11 o'clock. We have our elders' Christmas party that will be happening, and you don't want to miss that. A lot of the things are happening around here at Turning Point, and so you want to check the calendars that are in the back, and we try to keep everybody informed via social media, Instagram, Facebook, and I don't know if there's anything else. I have no idea. But anyways, but let's pray right now. There's many needs in this very room. There's situations. There's some on vacation, some dealing with sickness that we want God's hand to be involved in. Lord Jesus, you are in this room right now. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you've already done. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, let healing go forth even today. I pray your strength to be dispatched in this room, but also in the homes that are dealing with sicknesses. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, let your kingdom reign. Let your will be done in our lives. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, come and give us unto the Lord. Take about 30 seconds. Let somebody know how happy you are to see him in the house of God on this Sunday. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Never deals with just me alone, but he deals with all of us. And one of the things that he keeps having me focus on is pausing and breathing, that I don't have to do everything and have the strength in my own to do it, but I just need to be, and to be in his presence, and to be whole, and to be healthy, and just not do all the things. Especially at this time of year when we get so focused on buying this gift and doing this thing and going this place. And one of the other things that he's been dealing with me about is that I had spent so many years building walls trying to keep myself in this fortress of my own creation. But God did not intend me to build the fortress. He intended to be the fortress. What He created me to be was a temple to praise Him, a temple to give Him glory, a temple to be inside of Him and in His presence. So today, as we sing this song, I just want to remind you that you are not the fortress. God is. You are the temple.
You'll
attractive, even in the distraction. I will trust the one who's greater than the storm. I will trust the one who's greater than the storm. The same God who made you.
many know that He is able. Amen. In our darkest moments, in our darkest hours, we serve a God that is able. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Wow, what a wonderful job this music team did ushering us into the presence of God. Amen. I'm thankful that I can come into a place and I can feel His presence. Amen. Amen. Right, tell your neighbor, we have to guard this. We have to guard this. And you may be seated this morning. We have to guard this. The year was 1787 in a state house which is also called the Independence Hall. There was a convention being held where 12 of the 13 states at that time would gather together over the next 116 days. During this time, the men that gathered in that building would begin to discuss and begin to write a document that we still call to this day the Constitution. Although there are a lot of things that we could focus on and talk about regarding this convention or this meeting that took place. But this morning, I would like to key in on a small but historic encounter that would take place. It was nearing the end of this long and drawn-out convention. I mean, they did spend nearly 116 days in this meeting. Could you imagine that meeting? When a man by the name of Dr. James McHenry would witness an encounter that only he could tell. Dr. James McHenry was a delegate from the state of Maryland. He was one of the youngest delegates to participate at the age of 34. He was known for a lot of great things throughout his life. He served in the Revolutionary War, and he also served as the United States Secretary of War. Dr. James McHenry had accomplished a lot. But there is one thing that he is most remembered for today. He is remembered for keeping notes and writing down his daily events in a personal notebook. And so it was during this convention that he would put his pen to his notepad and write down this historic encounter. The young Dr. James McHenry writes that when Benjamin Franklin had left the building on one of those last days, he writes that a woman by the name of Miss Powell, and that's all we know about her, would confront Benjamin Franklin. She met him in his path and asked him this question, and I quote, she said to Franklin, "Well, doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy?" Seems like a pretty important question to ask. Right. Franklin said, "A republic." His answer to her question was a republic. But then Dr. James McHenry writes down what Franklin said next. Franklin stated these important words. He said, "If you can keep it, if you can keep it." Amen. I believe it's safe to say that we live in a time and in a day where good is called evil and evil is called good. Amen. We live in a world that is constantly affected by self, in a culture that promotes no boundaries, in a time where dividing lines that used to hold us seem to be constantly pressed against. It seems like the margins are only getting smaller. Right. Amen? Right. Amen? Everything that promotes structure and everything that represents godly morals is usually quickly undermined and quickly underplayed. We know that there is a mindset out there that tells us that as long as we are happy and as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, we should follow our hearts. We've all heard that. fact, our society has perfected that very thing. And it isn't to no surprise to us, but there are some, even today, that will take Scripture and turn it to fit their desires and even their personal views. Amen? And the problem with this is that the boundaries that were set in Scripture get loosened in order to fulfill their personal desires. And unfortunately, when we become a cherry farmer, amen, when we begin to pick and choose what works for us, we miss the protection, we miss the peace that comes from His Word. Amen. When we pick and choose what works for us, we are choosing one thing, but at the same time letting go of the fulfillment or the fullness that comes from His Word. I'm just going to put it in layman terms this morning. I won't be too long. And I have Scripture to back this up, but the times that we are living in, if we are not careful and if we don't guard this, if we don't keep this, if we don't have His Word constant in our life, a daily bread, it is easy to get disoriented and it is easy to start listening to voices that say, you don't have to do all that. And anybody ever heard that? You don't, Bible really doesn't mean that. And we began to substitute truth for false doctrines and even delusions. The Bible says it. Come on, we need the inspired Word of God in our life. We need the full counsel of God. We need it spoken in our lives. Paul would write to Timothy warning him that of what it would look like in the last days. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 2. I won't read the full thing, but it says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Something we'll have to fight every day. He would later write this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but having itching ears, they will accumulate themselves teachers to suit their own personal passions. And will turn away from listening to truth and wander off into myths. Paul said that they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It has happened then, and it is still happening in our day. But on this Sunday morning, I would simply like to remind us of what it says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. It says to buy the truth and sell it not. Right. Amen. We have to buy this truth and sell it not. Reminded of Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered it up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. We have to get to a place where it doesn't matter what the cost is. We have to buy the field. We have to get to a place where it doesn't matter what we have to get rid of. And I'm talking to myself. We have to hold on to this truth. Can I say it plainly this morning? That it is not time to pawn the responsibilities of our families on something that will not sustain them. Amen. It is not time to make excuses, and I'm talking to myself, but we have to buy this truth and sell it not. We have to buy this truth, sell it not. The Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. That tells me that our time is limited, amen? But His Word is not limited. We ought to make it a priority, not only in our lives and not only in myself, but also in those that are following us to put this word in front of them and in front of us each and every day. Believe me, I'm not trying to give marching orders this morning, but nobody can buy this for you. Nobody can make you do this. You have to make it intentional. You have to be intentional about it. You have to buy it for yourself. We can't ask the next generation to be sold out when we ourselves are not sold out. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord God shall call." The Lord has entrusted us with this truth. And it is up to us whether we guard and protect what God has given us. It's up to us whether we put it in front of our children and our family, and whether we lead them with it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith." Paul was telling Timothy to guard what was entrusted to him, to avoid certain things and don't swerve away from it. He was telling him to keep it and don't back away from it. Don't allow this world to affect your decisions. He was telling him to guard the word that was being taught. And while I was studying this, I was reminded of a passage of Scripture that can be found in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 13 through 14, and also in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 through 12. And it says in 2 Samuel, "And after him was Shammah, son of Agi the Hararite." Says, "When the Philistines had banded together near the field full of lentils, Israel troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field, defended it, and struck down the Philistines. So the Lord brought a great victory." The fields were planted. Amen. The harvest was ready. The Israelites anticipated the fruit of their labor. They understood how important this was to their family. It was necessary for their survival. Right. The Bible says that the Philistines would gather near the edge of the field. Right. They pressed in on their boundaries. It was a constant pressing that the Philistines would keep on the people of God, hoping to wear them out. I believe this wasn't the first time that they had taken from their fields. This wasn't the first time that they had to deal with the Philistines. Come on, somebody. It was like clockwork. Every time the people of God would get close to the season of harvest, every time they would step into their field, they would wonder if the Philistines were coming to steal from them again. I mean, it was without fail the Philistines would come in and take what they wanted, leaving no regard for the ones that tended to the fields and sowed the seed. Right. It's like the Philistines had an appointment and they walked in like they owned the place, kind of like my children sometimes. They would cross over into their fields, and I'm sure that at one time or another, and I'm sure that the Israelite people and the troops would have guarded the perimeters of their field. I'm sure that at one time they may have fought with everything that they knew and had to protect their fields. And I'm sure that at one time, but possibly over the years, they thought it was just easier to allow them to come in. I'm just saying there's a possibility. Maybe they thought it was just easier to let them get what they wanted and hoped that they would leave something for them when they left. Maybe they thought it was easier to just allow them to take what they wanted, hoping that they wouldn't take it all. I can't tell you why they fled from the Philistines on that day. I don't know why they would leave their fields open to the enemy on that day to take what they wanted. Don't know why they didn't protect their fields, but what I find interesting about this was that when the Philistines came this time, when the Philistines crossed over into their fields this time, there would be a man standing in the center of that field, ready to fight. I find it encouraging this morning that when everyone else decided to run off and hide, and when everyone else decided that this field was not worth fighting for, one man stood in the middle of that field and said, "This may not be important to them, and this may be just a field of barley and lentils to them, and it may not mean anything to my coworkers, and it may not mean anything to my friends, and this field may not mean anything to this world system, but I'm going to stand in the middle of this field, and I'm going to fight." Come on, while everyone else is backing away and while everyone else is finding themselves getting going in another direction, I'm going to stand on the Word of God, and I'm going to allow Him to fight for me. Come on, we need to stand in the time that we're living in. Our children need someone that will stand. Our job needs someone that will stand in the middle of our field. Our homes need someone that will stand when everyone else is backing away, and while everything else tells you you don't need to be there, we need to stand. We need to fight. This fight isn't like every other fight. It's not a physical fight. God help us. Our weapons are not like this world. And this fight isn't about the barley. Amen. This fight isn't about the lentils as much as it is about the peace and the covering and the righteousness that comes from God. And I wonder if we have anyone here today that is willing to say, "I'm not leaving this truth. I'm not backing down. Come on, I'm not giving up on my peace. I'm going to guard what God has given me. I'm going to guard my home. My family needs this. I'm going to grow in this. I'm going to guard my home. I'm going to guard my peace." While everyone else ran off, one person decided, "You're not going to touch my field." Simply want to remind us this morning that whatever season of life you find yourself in, and whatever your field looks like, do whatever it takes to guard the borders of your field. Do whatever it takes to make this a priority. To make sure that the world doesn't press in on your decisions. Come on, we've been entrusted with something. We've been entrusted with this truth. We have to guard it. We have to guard it. I want to let somebody know that's just starting out in this, that you're not fighting for no reason. Amen.
Right.
Your story is not over. There is hope in Jesus. There is hope in Jesus. You have a body of believers that will come and they will pray for you. They will believe with you. They will stand with you. You're not alone this morning. The Bible says that God saw that man standing in the middle of that field. The Bible says that the Lord brought a great victory. The Lord brought the victory. There is victory when we stand on His word, and there is victory when we begin to fight for our families. And I wonder this morning if we can just take a moment and if we could just thank Him for protecting us. I wonder if we could just thank Him for this truth this morning. I wonder if we could take a moment and lift our hands and lift our voice and thank Him for entrusting us and carrying this truth. Come on, help me to lead my family, God. Help me to lead in my workplace, God. Come on, I just don't want to be full of air, and I don't want to be just something that speaks it and has ringing bells, God, but I want to hold on to this. I want to lead my family. And the Lord will fight your battle. I love the way the Bible says it in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. It says, but that on good ground, that on good ground are they which in an honest, amen, help us God, and in a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The Bible says that on good ground. What kind of ground are we standing on this morning? It says, and an honest and good heart. How honest have we been with ourselves lately? Having heard the word, keep it. I tell us today that we must stand our ground. We must keep this in our hearts. The Bible says, and having heard it, they keep it. I don't want to be ever learning but never coming to the fullness of His word and what His plan is. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. I'm coming to an end, and I'm going to end really quickly if we could have the musicians and if we could all stand. We have to stand our ground. We have to protect the fields. I tell us this morning that the field matters. This matters. My decisions, they matter. My decisions affect my children, my spouse, my home. My faithfulness matters. I want to tell you, I've seen more blessings just from faithfulness than I have anything else in my life. I've seen more blessings from faithfulness. And this is what I want us to get this morning, and this is what I want to get for myself. Because if we don't get any of this, nothing else matters. If we don't get this, nothing on the outside, nothing outside of this place, nothing outside of your home matters. One of the most quoted verses comes from the end of Paul's life, and it's the end. None of us are at the end of our life, praise God. Most of us probably have it memorized, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul would tell Timothy that I have kept the faith. The word kept means to guard. Paul was telling Timothy that he must guard the things of God. Paul was telling Timothy that he must guard what God has entrusted in him. In spite of the times that we live in spite of the culture that surrounds him, in spite of the conflicts, Paul said to guard the faith, to keep it. We are entrusted to keep this. And I don't know about you, but I want my friends and I want my family to know that this is a safe place. Thank you. I want my children to know that they can run boldly to the throne of God. I want my family to know that this is real. So as we begin to make our way to the front, I wonder if we could just take a few moments this morning. And if we could be honest with God. I'm going to get out of the way here soon. But I wonder if we could gather with our family. I wonder if we could gather with our friends. And I wonder if we could take a few moments and pray for them like we were fighting for them. Come on, why don't we find someone to pray with?
I'll buy this truth and I won't tell it. I choose this truth above all. So strong that I
two more that's going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Maya and Jordan are going to get baptized today. We're thankful for that. As everybody is preparing for this, I think it's in order today that maybe we just, if it's okay and appropriate, lay your hand on the person next to you. Just put your hand on their shoulder, again, if it's appropriate. There's things in our lives that we're fighting on a daily basis. And we need to understand that we've got to guard the Word of God in our hearts. There's many things that want to pluck that away, take that from you. There's many things that will fly around, per se, and try to mess with our minds. But today, we're going to decide. We're going to make a declaration today. We are deciding that today I'm going to stand for truth. Come on, lift your voice and begin to pray for that person right beside you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray it right now. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will help us, oh God. Give us the strength to stand. God, the standing is my own part, God. The standing is my part, God. I'm doing my part. I'm going to stand strong, but God, I'm going to need your strength for the coming days. God, when things try to rob my peace, I'm going to make a stand. Oh God, when things try to rob my joy, I'm going to make a stand. Lord, we're making a stand today. Yes, come on, make that declaration today. Let it be done today in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you one more time just lift your hands to heaven? It's our hand, sign of surrender. It's a sign of worship as well. And when we lift our hands, we have to expect something, and that is that we're going to feel the presence of God. Some are feeling the power of God for the very first time, and we gauge that maybe by what we feel by way of our emotion. Maybe we got goosebumps. And then there's some that gauge it by their emotion, and they feel a peace that comes over them, or they feel something that they have not yet felt before. That's the presence of God. That's an outward feeling of the presence of God. He understands. He understands us. And the way he wants to make connection with us is by through our emotional state first. And then he gets in our spirit. I'm going to challenge us that through our emotional state, and you can say, I'm not emotional. Lie you fry. I know better. I know some of you like the Dallas Cowboys or you like a certain sports team and you get excited about that and you yell around about that. What is she doing up here? But you see, we get emotional about some stuff. I think it's okay that we get emotional in the house of God, in the presence of God. If you begin to cry, it's okay. It's okay. If you begin to feel a joy you've never felt before, that's a moment where you can say, thank you, Jesus, for what I feel. And you begin to thank him in your own words, in your own way. And that's a sure sign that God is showing up. Can we do that right now? Can we do that right now? In your own way, begin to thank him. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, that's right. That's the power of it. Come on, let it out right now in Jesus' name. Connect to you. that, Lord, through this week, there's going to be things that's going to try to take our peace. But I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you will guard that peace as we make a stand. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How may feel the presence of God. Yeah. And our response is going to get emotional sometime. And that's all right. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're emotional people. We're made up of emotions. Some are more emotional than others. Come on, somebody. You know that person that's a little more emotional than others. I mean, they turn into a ball bag whenever something gets going and they're just crying like all crazy. They get to ugly crying. You know those people that they're good at laughing and they're great at the, you know, the joy part or being the life of the party. You know those ones that are just calm and collective. Still water runs deep, they say. You gotta watch those ones. But it's okay. Look at somebody, say, it's okay to be emotional in God's presence. Look at somebody else and say, you're all right. You're all right. You're all right. Oh my, I feel God's presence here. I feel God's presence here. Come on, lift your hands again all across this place. Yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, yes, in Jesus' name. The power of God is in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the remembrance.